Today's daf is daf mem test. We got to the bottom of mem chesam and beis, the mission on the bottom. Mishnah says, Shur shahaya miskavin lechaveiro. Shur has intent to gore another shur. Vehikas ishan accidentally, whatever that means, hit a woman. Vyata yaladeha, and she has a miscarriage. Pater midimei vlados. The baal shur doesn't pay dimei vlados. Just look at Rashi for a second. Rashi says on the bottom here, Shur shehaya miskavin lechaveiro, hu adin miskavin leisha. Even if the shur had intent to hit the woman, we'd also be pater. Kedamina bepirkan le'el, we saw earlier, naki midmei vlados. So baal shur never has to pay. So we're going to ask the question, Gemara mefarish am I naki miskavin lechaveiro? So then why does the Mishnah say dafka? When the shur is attacking another shur and accidentally hits the isha, is the baal shur pater? Any case, the baal shur would be pater. That's the question in the Gemara. So then the Mishnah says, the Adam Shayam is Kavin Lechavero. A person intends on hitting another person. The Hikis Isha accidentally hits a woman, the Yatza Yiladeh, and she has a miscarriage. Mishalim Dmei Vlados. Then the Adam would have to pay Dmei Vlados. Keta Mishalim Dmei Vlados. How does one pay? How do you assess the value of the Vlados? Shamin is Isha Kama Hi Yafe Ad Shelo Yalda. You assess how valuable the woman is before giving birth. The Kama Hi Yafa Mishalim, and how much she's worth afterwards. Now the Tanakhama assumes she's more valuable while pregnant than afterwards. Even though you would imagine that she's weaker and she's in a more dangerous state, but she's at the same time heavier, perhaps even stronger. So the Tanakhama thinks she's again more valuable before than she's afterwards. So that decrease in value has to be paid to her husband. Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he says back, no. He goes back to going on to Daf Mem Tes. Im Kain, if that's the case, Misha Isha Yoledes Mishabechas. So what this is trying to say is when she gives birth, she is it's unclear what's going on here. Rashi says the Gemara will explain what his taina is, so just ignore the taina for now. But Ela Shaman Esav Vlados Kamahen Yafin, you look at the value of the Vlad themselves, independent of the woman, and Vinosain Labal, and you give that value of the Vlad to the husband. Vim Ain Labal, if there is no husband, no saying Lyarsha, if you give it to the husband's Yorshim. Hayisa shivcha v'nishachra. If she's, let's say, shivcha, and then she gets freed, oh, she is a geyeres. So she's geyeres. The halacha is pater. There is no payment of dmei vlados in those cases. The Gemara will explain all this. So Gemara's medayik from the first part of the Mishnah first. Taima diniskavin lechaveru. Only because a shur tried hitting another shur and hit the woman instead, do we say that the baal shur is pater. Is this to say, but ha miskavin leisha? If the shur had intent to attack the shur itself, to the woman herself, does that mean to say mishalim demei vlados? Then the baal shur would have to pay demei vlados. In which case, that would be lema teve tuf to the Rav Adar bar Ava. That means Rav Adar goes against the Mishnah. Dama Rav Adar bar Ava shvarim shiniskavnu leisha. He holds that if a shur intends on hitting a woman and causes a miscarriage, the baal shur is pater. Our Mishnah seems to indicate, no, only when he has kavana for another shur is he pater, but if it's kavana for a isha, there would be chayiv. So Amr Lecha Rav Adar bar Ava, he explains, no, hu adin afilu niskavnu leisha nami pturim. The Mishnah even means a case. If the shur is attacking a pregnant woman and causes a miscarriage, even in that case, the baal shur is pater. Midmei vlados. So why did it bring a case, a very specific case, only when a shur is attacking another shur? I did the kabbalah misnei seifi only because the seif had to be taught like this. Adam shayam miskavin lechaveru tahalchik sivkra katani reishanam ishur shayam miskavin lechaveru. That the case of a person hitting another person, which is what the passage is referring to, that's the way the seif had to be. Adam lechaveru. So for the consistency, we also spoke in the ratio of a shur lechaveru. But that shur lechaveru is not meant to make any diukum from it. It's even a shur to the isha would also be pater mei vlados. So Amar Papa now, shur shenogeh has a shifcha. Let's say shur gores a shifcha. The Yata Iladeha, and she has a miscarriage. Mishalim Demei Vlados, you do pay the Demei Vlados. So my time, what's the reason? Didn't we just say a shur? So he's pater from Demei Vlados. What's the difference between a shivcha or an isha? Answers the Gemara. Chamrasa Mabrasa Ba'almahu Da'azik. She's viewed as a chamar, as a pregnant donkey. She's viewed as an animal. Damar Kra, the Pasuk says, Shuvalachem Poma Chamor. Avram says to Yishmael, you stay back here while I take Yitzchak up to do Akedat Yitzchak. So he refers to Yishmael, and for that matter, all nations as a chamor. So Am Hadom Lachamor. So we view her as an animal and not as a human. And that's why he's chayiv to pay any damage. Look at Tosfos on the top for a second. Interesting Tosfos. He writes Chamrasa, Marasa, Vechule. He asks Vim Tomar, if we really view a Shivcha as a animal, so Hagabe Bor, Tanan Bishile Pirkin, Naflo Tocha Evido Ama Pater. So if it's really an animal, the halacha is if a shore falls to a boar, I, the Baal Shor, have to pay the shore. If a person falls, then a pater from an Adam. So how are we classifying a Shivcha? Is she a behema? Then you should be chayiv. If she's an Adam, rather, you should be pater. So that's the question. One should be chayiv. The Baal HaBor should be chayiv if a Shivcha falls into the boar because she's an animal. Tosfos answers, "V'yesh shlomer d'hacha lo mi'ayit hakasev shur b'dmei vlados elav amakom shavlados shabal k'dichse bal ha'isha v'akan havlados la'adon d'chse ha'isha v'yladeha tia ladoneh." He ends up saying that the p'tur of d'mei vlados is only true when d'mei vlados go to a husband, but if the d'mei vlados go to the master, like in the case of a shivcha, it's a completely different set of halachas. That's what he's pointing out here. So even though she is really viewed as an animal, there's a difference here between her and other animals. Okay. Says the Gemara, Vaita, first Y line down, two dots, Ketan Mishalim Dmei Vlados. How do you pay? How do you assess the value of Vlados? So the Gemara says, Dmei Vlados Shevach, Shevach Vlados Mi Barle, Shevach Vlados Mi Barle. It shouldn't really be the Dmei Vlados, the value. It should be the added benefit that the Vlad makes the person, makes the woman into someone stronger. So that's exactly what the mission means to say. How do you value both the value of the Vlad and the benefit the Vlad makes the woman? So we look at the woman. How much advantage is the Vlad adding to the woman herself? That's what we're looking for. We're not looking for the value of the Vlad itself. We're looking for the value that the Vlad adds to the woman herself. And that's what the mission means. Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Im Kain, Mishaisha Yola, this Mishabechas. So my Kamar, what exactly is Rashbag asking on the Tanakama? So Amar Rabba says, Hachi Kamar, V'chi Isha Mishabechas, Kodom Shetelet, Yosem Milacha Shetelet? Does a woman really have greater value before she gives birth than from afterwards? Meaning, is a pregnant lady greater than a non-pregnant lady? Does it make sense? Follow Isha Mishabechas, Lacha Shetelet, Yosem Mikodom Shetelet. A woman is more valuable after she gives birth than before, because she's more capable. She's lighter. She's able to move. No, I think we're referring to not the child. We're referring to her herself. When we're saying when she gives birth, she has greater value than when she's pregnant, because when she's pregnant, she's waddling. She can't carry things. She's in danger. What does Rashi say here? Look at Rashi. Hello, Isha Mishabechas. It's around 15 narrow lines up. Hello, Isha Mishabechas. Bidamim la'acha shetelet. A woman's more valuable after she gives birth. The mitchila, the me'apchusim. Initially, her value is much less. Limakir to be sold. She musukenes. He limos b'tzar leida. It's very possible she could die through leida. So she therefore has more value, not in what she's able to accomplish, but in terms of the risks involved with buying such a person that she might die. So, therefore, she's more valuable after giving birth, it says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So, Ella, how do you assess the value? Ella Shaman es Havlados. You look at the Vlad themselves, not the woman, the Vlad. Venosin Lebal. And that value of the Vlad is paid off to the husband. Tanya Nam Yahachi, the Brisa says the same thing. V'chi Isha Mishabechas Kodum Shetelet, Yosem Milacha Shetelet. Follow Isha Mishabechas Lacha Shetelet, Yosem Mikodum Shetelet. She's more valuable after she gives birth. Ella Shaman es Havlados. Venosin Lebal. That's all according to Rabbah, that you're evaluating the Vlad themselves. Rava Amar Hachi Kadana. He understands the Mishnah differently. He says, V'chi Isha Lemi Sheyoledes Mishabechas Vein La'atzma B'shvach Vlados Klum. So a woman now, only to whom she's giving birth to, meaning to her husband, only she's valued to the husband, but she herself has no value inherently to herself? Doesn't make sense. Ela Shaman Es Vlados V'nosin Lebal. You assess the value of the Vlad, you give that to the husband. The Shvach Vlados Chokin. And the Shvach Vlados, the added value it gives to her, being someone perhaps stronger and heavier, so then whatever that Shvach is, that they split between her and her husband. So she also gets a chelak in the Shvach Vlados. So Tanya Nami Hochi, the Brisa says the same thing. Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, V'chiyisha L'misha Yela, this Mishabechas Vein L'asma B'Shvach Vlados Klum. Only to the husband gets everything, but she gets no value. Elishaman Nezek b'fnei atzmo, v'tzar b'fnei atzmo. You evaluate each of these things independently. V'shaman es avlados v'nos in the baal. V'shvach avlados chalkin. Exactly what Rava said. So Gemara says now, Akasha tirashbaga tirashbaga. Now there seems to be a stira between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, because this price that we just brought was actually in the name of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and the price earlier was also in the name of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So there seems to be a stira in terms of which part. Look at Rashi. Rashi just clarifies, I assume. Where's that Rashi? You see Rashi, two wide lines down in the middle of the line. He says, Kasha de Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, v'chulei, t'halchik katani. That a woman actually is more valuable when she's pregnant than when she is not pregnant. But earlier we learned, she's greater after giving birth. So there's a steer in these two different prices if she's greater value before or after giving birth. And the Gemara answers, Lo kasher kan, kan b'mevakeres, kan b'shem mevakeres. The question is her first birth or not? Rashi explains what the difference is. Three wide lines down. B'mevakeres, if it's a first child, demet p'chusim kodum leida, melacher leida, the mesukenesi. If it's a first birth, it's more dangerous. We have no idea how she's going to react. It's the first one, she has no idea how she's going to emotionally handle this, physically handle this. Therefore, there's much more danger there. So then we say in her first birth, she's going to be, first pregnancy, she's more valuable after giving birth. But before, and there's so much risk involved. But after we see she's already given birth in the past, and she was fine, so then by the second time around, when she's pregnant, she's actually more valuable while pregnant than she is after giving birth. Rabbanan d'amri shvach lados nami l'baal, my taima. And Rabbanan think, no, even the shvach lados, the added value that the Vlad brings to her, that also goes all to the husband. You don't split it between her and the husband. My taima, what's their reasoning? Kiditznan, the Mishnah tells us, that the children came out. Do we not know that she's pregnant? If there's children coming out, if there's a miscarriage, of course she's hara, of course she's pregnant. So ma tamal hara, what's the need for that pasuk, that word? Lo melacha to teach you, shvach harayon the baal. The extra word that even the any added value that the pregnancy adds to her will ultimately go to the husband. That's what we learn from the extra word of hara. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, hi hara, my darish bay. So what does he do with the word hara? Hara can be used to teach me that the shvach Havla goes to the husband because he holds that you split it between the husband and the wife. So what does he learn from the word hara? My darish bay, mi bar le, it's needed licha detani. Like the Brisa tells us that Rabbi Eliezer and Yaakov Omer, li olam eino chayv achi yukeneb keneged beis haharyam. That you're only chayv if it's, she's hit in her area, the belly, where she's actually pregnant. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa lo tema keneged beis haron mamish, not lav dafka, exactly where the child is, but ela kolhecha disalik bay shichma levlad, anywhere where the heat of the vlad goes. Rashi says, Rashi five lines up from the bottom, shichma is chamimus haynu kineged kol chala kol kulo, the entire stomach area, even though the child might be a little higher up or a little bit lower, as long as it's in that the womb and hit somewhere in the womb, even though the child might not be where that punch went, but it's still in the chala. That would be included. La fuke yad v'regel delo. If you hit the girl, the lady, on the foot or on the hand, where obviously there's no, that's not where the child is anywhere near, then that would not result in a chiv of payment here. Okay. Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah, Haisa shifcha v'nishtachra. If she's a shifcha, then she becomes freed. Or she's a gayores, in which case there are no, there's no relatives, pater. Then there's no chiv to pay any demei vlados. So Amar Rabba explains, Lo shanu ela shechava ba b'chai hager. There's only true that there's a p'tur if you hit her while her husband, who's also a ger, we're assuming, is alive. U'meis hager, then the ger dies. The chayvin dechava ba b'chai hager. Since the hit took place while the husband was alive, zachu b'hu ger. So the ger was alive. He had the money coming to him. So he's zochen that demei vlados already in his lifetime. But since he died, and we're assuming it's a case where the ger had no relatives, so now the mazik is zocha from the ger. Like right now, there's money, let's say there's $100 that's in the mazik's possession that's supposed to go to the ger. He was alive, and he died. So now it becomes hefker because there's no yorshin of the ger. So since it's in the mazik's possession, he just holds on to those $100. Aval chava bal acher mises hager. But let's say the geras is now, she's a widow. She's pregnant, and her husband dies before giving birth. So now the husband dies, and then some guy is mazik her and causes her to have a miscarriage. Zachila ihi begavayu. She is zocha. Since there's no husband here, she's the one who's zocha to her dmei vlados. Umechayv l'shlumei la lidida. And then the mazik would have to pay her the money. He can't keep it for himself. So that's the chiluk, the rabbi says. It's not across the board that Giora is always pater.
Is that because the vlados originally belonged to the husband and now belong to her? Is that the reason why?
I think the idea is because there's no one zocha to it, so therefore she is the next in line.
But she's also yours.
No, that's fine. But when the husband's alive, so the Torah gives the husband the rights to collect the dmei vlados.
She has zero rights. Okay. She has rights.
But the husband's dead, right. So she has the rights to it. I think that's where it's coming from.
What would be the difference between yours and the regular person?
We just because Stam Gioris has no Yorshin.
Right, okay.
That's what it is. That's all it is. If you have a case where a person has no Yorshin, ain't a chanami. Same halach. Yeah. Okay.
Is that talking about the dmei vlados? No, the vlados himself, right?
Yeah, that's all Rashi says. Rashi just explained that vlados are the property of the husband. And when the husband dies, so now it becomes her property. Now it's her property that's been damaged, so therefore the mazik has to pay her. That's what's going on, Rashi explains. Anyways, that's all according to Rabbah. Comes along, Rav Chista, explains, Mari Dichi, the master who say, in other words, Rabbah, who just said what the chilaka you just said, Atu vlados tsarininu v'zachabu. Do we view vlados as just like a bag of money that's just being transferred over to whoever it is? It's not like a bag of money. Ella, the way it works is isilabal zachale rachmana less the baal lo. The lach is the Torah only gives the rights to the husband. If there is no husband, then there's no one who gets the rights. Meaning, no one should really get it. The dmei vlados is not viewed as property. It's not viewed that way at all. And therefore, only the Torah is special kuzeh tzakasiv. Only when the husband's alive is there going to be zechus to the husband. And if there's no husband, then nobody, not even her, gets any rights. Gemara now asks the question. Meisive, pasuk says, "Haka es ha'isha v'yotzel iladeha." So if you hit the woman and it causes her to miscarriage, so the halacha is no say nezek v'tzar liisha d'mei vlados lebal. Ein habal, if there's no husband, no sin liyarshim. You give it to his yarshim. Ein ha'isha. No sin liyar sheha. If there's no woman, so then you give to her yarshim. Ha'isa shivcha v'nishdachra ogiyaras zacha. So he's zocha to it. So you see from here that she's not zocha. We said above, according to Rabbah, that if there's no husband, she is zocha to it. But this price says zacha, that he is zocha, where there's no husband. So still, then the mazik is zocha, and the mazik's pater. So Gemara says, what kind of raya is this? Amri mi adifa mi masnizin? Is this braisa greater than our Mishnah? That okmina shechava babachai hager. No, maybe it's a case where the mazik hit her while the husband's alive still. So the ger was zocha into it, and then meis hager. Then the ger died, so that's why the mazik zocha to it. But if it was a case where the husband was already dead before the hitting, so she would be zocha to it. There's no rai that she's never zocha anything. Hachanami here too. Also, say the braisa is a case shechava babachai hager, where he hit her while the husband's alive, and the husband's zocha to it. But then meis hager, the ger dies, so it's like any other case where the ger dies, and there's no yorshim, so it's hefker, and that's why the mazik collects the money. So there's no rai, there's no kasha from that question. Ibai zema. Alternatively, we could suggest this case is la'achar misa hager. Maybe he really hit her after the husband already died. Husband's dead, and she's a widow, and she's pregnant, and then she's caused the miscarriage. But Tani Zachta, it doesn't say Zacha, it should be Zachta. The Brice we could have, sometimes we could change things around. There was a mistake. It means Zachta, she is Zocha to it. Rabbah says she was Zocha to the Dmei Vlados, because when the husband's not around, Rabbah thinks that she is Zocha to the Dmei Vlados. Gemara wants to suggest Lema to Katanai. Maybe this Machlokas of whether or not she's ever Zocha to the Dmei Vlados or not, it's really Machlokas Tanaim. This Machlokas, Rabbah Rav Chista, may be Machlokas Tanaim. As it says, Bas Yisrael shenasas shenishes lager. If a Bas Yisrael gets married to a ger, v'nis abra mimenu, and she becomes pregnant, v'chalva ba b'chai hager, and she gets hit while her husband's alive, so no sin d'mei vlados lager. The d'mei vlados go to the ger. Everything we've seen so far. La'achar mises hager, but let's say it takes place after. The chavala takes place after the husband already dies. So now she's a widow who's pregnant. So now the question is, Tani Chada Chayv, Tani Chada Pater. One position says you're chayv to pay her, the other opinion thinks you're pater from paying her. So my love, Tanai, you know? It's certainly a Tanai, right? One thinks that she is Zoche, because there's no husband, she is Zachta, that's Rabba. And the other opinion thinks that she is pater, that's Rav Chista. She doesn't get any money. So Gemara says, L'Rabba, Tavada Tanai, according to Rabba, you could easily explain this as Tanai, that's fine. It's a Tanai here. But Ella Rav Chista, Milema Tanai, but according to Rav Chista, who thinks that in the case the husband's dead, there's no payment to her, do you have to really say it's machlokas tanaim? He could say, really, everyone agrees to my case that even if he dies, she doesn't get any payment. So what's machlokas here? Lokasha harabanan harabitshim gamliel. It's a completely different machlokas. What's this machlokas here? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says lokasha three narrow lines down. He says klomer amal charav chisav. Chisav says tervayu tanai kavasi. Both tanaim hold like me. That if the husband's not around, you don't pay anything to the woman. But so it's talking about the shvach vlados. It's not the dmei vlados. Dmei vlados, Rav Chista says nobody gets dmei vlados. She does not get dmei vlados. The shvach vlados that we said added benefit to her, that goes to her, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who held that they split the shvach vlados. So that's why, if the husband is dead, she still collects half that shvach vlados. Rabbanan felt that kul shvach vlados goes to the husband, in which case pater, since there's no husband, she gets no payment in this case. That's how Rav Chista understands this machlok.
She loses the half of the husband, she doesn't get.
Correct. That's what it seems like, yeah. So now, E, Rabban Shimon Gamliel, if it's Rabban Shimon Gamliel who says that you be chayv to pay the half shvach vlados to the woman, the wife, so my Arya Lacharmisa, Afim Machaim Nami Islay Palga. So why Dafka only after the husband dies does she get the half? Even when the husband's alive, she still gets half. So Gemara explains, Misa Islay Palga, Lacharmisa Kula. So again, it's what you just said. When he's alive, so then they split the Shvach Lados half and half. But when he dies, so then she actually collects the entire amount, even his part he collects, she collects as well. Ibai same alternative. The Gemara says maybe this machlok is above is ha v'ha Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Kam is shvach vlados, kam is demei vlados. The case that says that she's part of him collecting, that's demei vlados, because Rabbi Chista says she never collects demei vlados even after the husband dies. The Brisa says that these chayv to pay, that's referring to shvach vlados, where Rashbag says she gets half the shvach vlados if he's alive and the full amount when he is dead. So they say arme mishvach vlados dushame demei vlados. Let's see, what's this question where I was asking? Look at Rashi. See Rashi, Amre, Im Kain, Kashul Rav Chista. This is a question to Rav Chista now. Why? The Mishvach Lados Hamagia Chetyov B'chai Hager, Lager, half goes to the Ger while the Ger is alive. B'kama Rabbi Shimon Kishemes, V'himu Beres Zachta Hi B'chelko. If he dies, so then she gets his part as well. Nishma, we could learn from here, Dezachta Nami B'demei Vlados Baila. So she's Zocha to his part. She should also be Zocha to the D'mei Vlados as well. Just like she's Zocha to his half of the Shvach Vlados, also be Zocha to the D'mei Vlados. D'mei Shana D'mei Vlados Mishvach Vlados. Fine, that's part one, the question. And Umid Rashbag, the Gemara says, Lishamel Rabbanan. Now from Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, we could infer something to Rabbanan now. Armei Lo Shvach Vlados. The Shaycha, let's say it's part of the question, let's see. Says Rashi, Umid Rabbi Shimon, Dashmina Dezachta Vechelko, Nishma Nami Rabbanan Dezachta Bekulan. Rabban Lo Pligi El Bechaim, Abba Zechia Demisa, Lo Pligi Rabbanan Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbanan would also learn that if after death she is Zocha to his part, even the Rabbanan would agree that she should be Zocha to his part as well. So these are the questions the Gemara asks. And what's the answer to the Gemara here? So Gemara says, Amri Lo Shvach Lados De Shaycha Lo. Not true. Shvach vlados de shaycha yada begavayel zachta behu bekulo. The mei vlados de lo shaycha yada begavayel lo zachta beklal. Meaning shvach vlados, we can understand her inheriting his half because she's a hand in that shvach vlados. She normally gets half of it. So now that her husband is dead, she pulls the full amount. She has a yad in that. But the mei vlados, according to Rashbag, she gets nothing. So when the husband dies, she has nothing to pull onto. So still, she gets nothing, whether the husband's alive or the husband's dead. She has no shayichas at all to the Dmei Vlados, in which case there is no kasha to Rashbag.
So the kasha would have been to Rav Chista.
That's Rav Chista's understanding of Rashbag, right? Gemara says, "By mine, Rav Yava, Saba, Rav Nachman, Hamachzik b'sharosav shel ger mahu." Let's say a person's holding on to some documents of a ger, and the ger dies, and he has no yarshin. So mahu, what's halacha? Man de machzik b'shara adai to the ara who de machzik. The guy who's holding on to the shtar wants the land. He wants the land that's hidden, that's behind these deeds. So his intention is really for the land. De machzik umba'ara halachzik, but the ma'aseh he's not holding on to the land though. And the shara that he's holding on to also doesn't work to be kona this land. His intention is not on the actual shtar. His intention is the land that's behind the shtar. So maybe he gets nothing. Yeah, the piece of paper. He's not interested in being kona the paper as a paper to use for something. He's interested in what the paper is talking about, what it's describing, which is the land. He wants the land, but on one hand, he's not holding on to the land. Number two is he's not holy. He doesn't really care for the star itself. He cares for the land that's behind the star. That's not really working. Oh, perhaps we say Dilma Daita Nami Ashara. No, he obviously wants the land, but he also wants to hold the star. So once he's kona the star for some purpose, he's kona that which is written in the star as well. That's the shaila.
So
what?
You can't kona the land without the star.
Well, no, you can't. Let's say I go to the property, and now the property is Hefker. He dies. If I do a certain chazaka to that land, I fix the lock or some type of fence. Even though you might have the deed, that deed means nothing. It's not your name. It's the deed of the ger. If I do a chazaka first on that property, I get it. First come, first serve. But if you... it comes up... Yeah? Gemar Babasa talks about these in Yanim. I don't know if we saw it together at all, though. But maybe. Okay. The Gemara says...
spoke about it by an Eved. That's the Kheris of its own Bein Ger. It's like Eved.
Could be. The Gemara is a Gittin.
Some Kedushin.
Kedushin a little bit. Okay, so that's the Shiloh. What's the guy's intention? When he's holding on to the deed, is he intending on the land, in which case he doesn't have the land, it doesn't have the shtar? Or does he also have intent on being kona the shtar, in which case if he's holding the deed, mimela, he's kona the ara as well, the land as well. So Amalei, Adi Mari v'chila tzur al pitz luchesu, tzarech, what kind of Shiloh is this? Why would he want the paper? Who wants a piece of paper? The paper itself has no value. He wants to cover his jug with this. Yeah, if it means that all it takes is to use this as a cover and that's going to get him a land, of course he's willing to cone the piece of paper itself, in which case he has intention on the paper and the mela he would be kone the property as well. Mara says, Amar Rabba, a different scenario, Mashkono shall Yisrael biyad ger. Let's say a ger is holding on to some type of collateral from a Yisrael. Umeisa ger, now the ger dies. So there's a mashkon of a Yisrael in his possession. Uba Yisrael acher, different Yisrael comes, v'hichzik ba, and takes on that mashkon, motino sam yada. You take away that mashkon from the third party Yisrael. My taima, what's the reason? Kevin de meislo ger, pakal shibuda. The only reason why the ger is holding on to the mashkon, he was using it as a collateral, because he had some type of, he was owed money by this, by Reuven. So he had a lead on this mashkon in case he doesn't pay him back. But now that the ger dies, there's no one else to claim the money from Reuven. Reuven's off the hook. That means the lien that was on this mashkon is no longer there. So when Shimon takes his property, the mashkon, he's stealing Reuven's property. But now let's say, mashkono shel ger b'yad Yisrael. So let's say I'm holding on to a ger's property. I have a mashkon. He owes me money. He owes me $1,000. I took his watch as collateral. So now the ger dies. Mesa ger. So it's in my property now. His mashkon is in my property, in my possession. Some other guy comes into my house and takes the watch that was once owned by this ger who's now dead. So the lach is, so the watch, let's say the watch is worth $2,000. So $1,000 of that watch is mine because that's what really, I don't really own the mashkon. I just, it's a collateral to ensure my payment. So I have a $1,000 claim of that watch, but the remaining $1,000 goes to the other Yisrael who has machzik that as a hefker property. That's the Gemara, that's what Rabba says. Gemara says, it doesn't make sense. Vamai. How could that other guy take property out of my property? Tiknu le chatero. The Hamar Rebbe Yossi Bar Chanina. Chatero shal adam kona lo shalom idaito. I didn't know that the ger died. And this guy knew he was a neighbor. He came to my house, I wasn't home, and took the watch. So I had no idea he died, but it was in my chatzir. So the klal is that a chatzir is kona, anything that's in my property, shalom idaito. So it should be mine, and I should have the full $2,000 worth of this watch. Gemara explains, Amri hachi b'mai skinan, what are we dealing with here? The lesse Kohecha Dilase. Harry, read that line 1 second. Rashi Sheina Hamalva Beir. I wasn't in this city. So if I'm in this city, so if I'm in the Chatzar or in the city, let's say the city wall, so then I'm Konesh Lobadaita. So it says the Gemara, Kohecha the Isa Lidide, Di Bai Makni, Matikani, Kanile, Namichatera. So whenever I'm around, I can always go and be konit. So to my chatzar works as a kinyan as well. When I'm not around, I'm not able to go. I'm not around to go konit the watch on my own. So then the chatzar or nami lo kanyan, the chatzar doesn't work either to be konit on my behalf. Trespassing?
Yeah,
I mean, yes, there's that.
What?
You can't shoot him. You could yell all you want, but you're not around to yell. It sounds like a strange thing, but it's no different than...
My question is more like, can he be kone something on, that isn't somebody else's property?
I think he has to get outside the property for Hagbah to work. I think so.
While he's in there, he doesn't work. Okay.
Yeah.
It's mishtemer. Like, what is this?
Very strange.
For it to work, mishtemer. It has to be mishtemer also. But either way, it has to be where he's able to on his own.
Mashko's hefker because the guy died. So
correct.
Forgetting that part.
It's hefker, but Ricky's bothered that he doesn't want some guy going to his house to take something out. It just you feel violated. Ain't a chanami. So okay.
Tosus makes the point in these.
Let's see. Look at Tosus Mashkono, that one.
That's that third next one.
Hilchasa. Let's read that line in the Gemara first then. Says the Gemara, last line before the Mishnah, Hilchasa, what's the bottom line here? The less of a chatzero, the lo kane. When the guy's not on the chatzer, so it doesn't work. Let's just look at Rashi for a second. Rashi says, Hilchasa, hadam rinan ze kane sashar, where the third party is kone the remaining balance, bidilese le mashkon bechatzero shel malve, bishas misis ager. When the mashkon of the chatzer, it's talking about a case where it actually wasn't there. If it wasn't the chatzer, it wouldn't work. If it's in my chatzer and the guy dies, my chatzer is going to be konit.
Right.
That's what Rashi says. Look at Tosfos. Tosfos writes, "V'hilchasa delase bechatzer." Perisha kuntres da mashkon kai, referring to the mashkon. The mashkon can't be in the chatzer. That's when the third party could be konit. Dim isa bechatzer konit. Even though I'm not standing there, I'm out of the city, my chatzer is kone, you cannot trespass. Not because of trespassing, by the way, that's not why. No, it's just because it's in a chatzer, that's how it works. Right. The Tarach Lomar, the Ari B'chatzer HaMeshemeres, like you said, the B'chatzer Shem HaMeshemeres Lokana. If it's an open fence, it's an open field, I've got acres and acres, and there's something drops there, anyone could take it. And therefore, LMK and Omei B'tat today, unless I'm standing next to it, then it works if it's not HaMeshemeres. Okay.
So that
fine.
Would be, in other words,
it's
a
kinyan,
no matter what.
If it's Meshemer, it's a kinyan, no matter what.
It's not there.
Even if it's not there, it works. The chatzah works as a kinyan, yeah. Mishnah now says, HaChofer bor b'shus ha-yachid u'paschal l'shus ha-rabim. The guy digs a bor in b'shus ha-yachid and it's open to b'shus ha-rabim. Oh, b'shus ha-rabim u'paschal l'shus ha-yachid. Or b'shus ha-yachid u'paschal l'shus ha-yachid. Acher, chayv, all these different scenarios, regardless of whatever permutation we have, each case, the Baal HaBor is going to be chayv. Let's look at some Rashi's here. Rashi explained, U'paschal Rishis Rabim, the Kol Shekeinim Chafer B'Shis Rabim, U'paschal Rishis Rabim, certainly in the case of where it's in Rishis Rabim itself. V'lo Tema Dafka Chofer B'Shusei, Dehavile Bor, Dislei Bailim, don't only say where I dig into my own Rishis, about Chafer B'Shis Rabim Pater, I own it. Deha Tani Seifa Chofer Bor B'Shis Rabim, V'Nafal Tocha V'Chule. The invite in Rashi, Bershisa Rabbim, Paschal Rishisa Yachid, the Havale Bor Bershisa Yachid, the Hifkir Rishuso, the Lamatu the Memar, my Bais Bershusi, and Rafal Derech Pev Latocha. So we spoke about this case already early in the Masechta. It has to be a case where you're Mafkir the Bor. We're going to invite in Rashi, the Chayiv, the Kasavar Chiyuva the Bor, Bain Bershisa Rabbim, Bain Bershisa Yachid, he Bavachi Afkir Rishuso. I don't care where it's situated. It's all about being hefker. If it's hefker and someone walks into it, so I'm responsible for that damage. And then one more, two more Rashi's, Rishus HaYochid, Paschal Rishus HaYochid, Avagav, the Ein Kan Tzad Rishus Rabim, you're still chayiv, Ubevat im hefker Roshuso, also Shapia Bor Latochem. Again, what we're learning from this mission, Rashi, is that whenever there's a Bor that's hefker, no matter where it's situated, the Baal HaBor will always be chayiv. Okay, now I think it's probably worth stopping here because this next Gemara goes, I think, deep into the next daf. So let's stop here, even though the next daf looks a little bit long. But we'll do the best tomorrow. Okay, have a wonderful day.